Sport on RTE Radio 1.
Well, it was nice what it lasted, Darren Frahill. Fill us in on what happened over the weekend.
Well, maybe you'd be the person to tell us. What happened to me yesterday, Gavin?
went for 2-pointers in the first half, didn't work. Donegal just tore them apart after that.
You know, you're wasted here in Morning Ireland. You should be on the Sunday game panel with that great analysis.
Yeah, all in 8 seconds, yeah.
Yeah. Sums it up, though, pretty much. Donegal will meet Kerry in this year's All-Ireland football final. Comfortable win in the end. I actually thought the scoreline, 3-26 to 15 points, really a tad unfair of me than everything that they've done this year. Yeah, like 20-point gap.
I mean, Malachy Clerk was saying in the Irish Times this morning that the indication of how soon the game was over was when Michael Murphy was pulled off, and it was at 44 minutes, and it was over at that
point. And the goals as well did serious damage, didn't they? They were coming from Oisin Gallen, Kieran Moore and Conor O'Donnell. I thought it just kind of, that was it, you know, nails in the coffin pretty much. So it's Donegal and Kerry, repeat of the 2014 final. And that game, incidentally, in 2014, would you believe, it was Jim McGuinness's final game in charge in his first tenure as Donegal manager. So it's come around to him again.
It'll be a great final.
It'll be an absolutely brilliant final.
And we get to see two of the finest footballers of this generation playing.
Yeah, and weren't they brilliant at the weekend? Murphy and David Clifford, phenomenal. Donegal have done it the hard way. I've just been going down through this actually this morning. Began on the 6th of April. No team has gone on a run like this before in the history of the Football Championship. So that was the preliminary quarter final against Derry. Then beat Monaghan down, and then Armagh after extra time in that Ulster final, won it by a point. Then Tyrone, Cavan and Mayo in the group phase. Thrills and spills in that Mayo game in particular. I was at that one down in Hyde Park, a late winner. Loudon, the preliminary quarter final. Monaghan again, and then Meath yesterday. So
here's the question:
Since the Mayo game,
have they been tested?
That's a good question.
They blew Louth, Monaghan, and Meath apart completely.
Yeah,
all Division Two sides too.
What are you trying to say? That they've had a handy run?
That I think Kerry have played better teams in the late run up to the final.
Jim might say that they've had to drive halfway around the country though, and
Lost on one occasion.
Get lost. We won't mention that. We don't need to bring that up again, do we? A bit of a sore point. But let's hear from the man himself, Jim McGuinness. He's been speaking to Damien O'Mara, and he's been saying how he feels that the players deserve enormous credit for what they've achieved so far.
I think in the main, they had a plan and a picture in their head of what they wanted to do, and they stuck to that really well. And listen, you know, Meath are a very young team. You're looking at the half forward line, and they might have maybe 60 or 70 appearances, you know, between the three of them, you know. So they will learn a huge amount from today as well. And so, for us, it's just important to stay focused now on what's important over the next 2 weeks and try and bring a challenge to Kerry.
And it's a new experience for a lot of players. What's the main advice you give fellas in terms of what's going to be the biggest 2 weeks of some of their lives?
Oh, you have to let the county enjoy the moment, and I suppose there's an element of letting the players enjoy that as well. But at the end of the day, in 2 weeks' time, the players have to play a game, and so the focus needs to be there and not anywhere else. And there's a lot of things that come into the mix, and whether you like it or not, you know, there's things that will come into the mix, you know, and tickets and all that type of stuff. So it's just trying to firewall yourself from a lot of that and stay focused on the things that are important, but allow them to enjoy the moment as well, because it's a very, very poignant moment in their lives. They mightn't realise it now, maybe some of them, because they are so focused, but it's an opportunity to play on All-Ireland final day, and having experienced both sides of it, you know, you want to be in the winner's enclosure. That's just the reality, you know. It's the best thing you'll ever do in your life, but it's also the hardest thing you'll ever do if you lose it, you know. And obviously one of the two teams is going to come out on the wrong side of it in 2 weeks' time, so for us it's just trying to focus on that and trying to zero in on what's important over the next 2 weeks and bring the picture to the fellas and get a good block of training in now and plan as best we can for a very, very sizable challenge in Kerry.
Yeah, it's going to be something else, isn't it? So will the search for tickets. I'm sure they're going to be gold dust. Our reporter Mike McCarthy has been speaking to some very happy Donegal supporters and some Meath folk who were taking all the positives from this brilliant run to the last four.
It's a very disappointing day. I think Donegal were probably the better side. Didn't suit them in the second half with the breeze and everything, but yeah, look, coming up today, it's such a good buzz in the Royal County. It was great, and even to get that far was unreal. And win or draw, that Meath team is on the up. The Royals are back.
A happy Donegal man going off looking for an All-Ireland ticket. Is that the way to describe you?
I think it is, yeah. It was a tight first half, comfortable enough in the end. The goals really kind of set us apart there. We kind of dominated the kick out there and kind of built on it from there, right? So No, I'm looking forward to it now. It'll be tough to beat Kerry after yesterday, but we're always hopeful.
It'll be tough to pick a starting 15 too, I'm sure, because of so much talent out there.
Yeah, like Jason McGee came on there, Paddy McVerdy came on there, and they were brilliant. Like they made huge difference to come on. So Jim will have a bit of a problem there picking the first 15, I'm sure, but no, everybody that played there was brilliant today.
Is McColgan bringing it in over towards Gallen around the edges? Gallen firing it into the net, and he peels away in celebration. A triumphant punch to the air from Oisin Gallen, and Donegal have one foot in the final.
Very disappointed. We just went wide a few too many times, but we'll be back, not to worry.
Is this a team, a future team, maybe next year, me that go that little step further?
Yeah, we're definitely the younger team here, and I think we can bring a lot forward in the coming years. We'll work on it.
You made the long trip down from where today?
From just outside Donegal.
And you're happy with what you've seen out there?
Yes, very happy now. That's a lot better than it was before. There's no doubt about that.
Are you going to go all the way?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. We'll go all the way, yeah. We'll make short work of Kerry when we get to see them.
Heather Morgan giving it to Shane O'Donnell. McHugh over to Kieran Moore. Moore is in on goal. And there it is, the second goal for Donegal. A big score from Kieran Moore. The second of this semi-final, and the Donegal fans are all up on their feet. They're thinking about the rush for tickets for the final.
A Westmeath man, who did you come up to support?
I suppose I support Meath, because they're our close neighbours, so I said I'd support Meath for the day. So it was tough to see them lose. We always love seeing underdog do well, but Donegal had them in the second half there. So
Meath and Donegal, what's the connection?
These are my children, Michael and Jordan. So we lived in Donegal, but now I'm back home.
So you're from Meath and your kids from Donegal, and they remain loyal to Donegal?
They sure do, yeah. And I'm loyal to Meath.
Oh, I'm still scratching my head. A Westmeath fan supporting
me.
I haven't come across many of those in all my days.
I'd love to say we'd replicate that, but
I don't think so.
It was terrific at Croke Park, yes.
It was a brilliant occasion, and I think we're in for two great finals, the
Absolutely.
Men's finals.
Aren't and they're we? Coming around really fast.
Yeah.
No time to paint the sheep, aren't they?
Yeah, no. Too fast, perhaps. I also want to mention, actually, another great game at the weekend, which took place. And I genuinely don't think it got enough publicity at all over the weekend. And that was Galway beating Cork in the All-Ireland Under-23 Camogie Final. This is the first time there's been an Under-23 competition. This was a brave move and a great idea. And for a couple of reasons, this is a response to keep those younger players who don't make the senior grade straight away, to keep them in the game, that they weren't disappearing, right? So that was the first reason. So many young women leaving sport. And the other reason then is this new competition means, so in the past, Camogie, and it wasn't always great. On All-Ireland final day, you'd have the senior final, the intermediate final. You could have Galway and Cork in the senior and then in the intermediate again. So this
same county's doing all that.
And Kilkenny would be in there in that mix as well. So they're removed now from the intermediate competition. So the focus on this under-23s. But that means then, so for this year, we're going to have six different counties on the final, on final day. And I think that's absolutely brilliant. And it's on the 10th of August. Kerry and Offaly will contest the intermediate final this year. And isn't that growing the sport, which is absolutely brilliant. And lovely to see the under-15s playing as a curtain raiser on Saturday. I heard it was almost as good as the under-23 game on Saturday in Limerick as well. So well done to everyone involved there. Yannick Sinner claimed the men's Wimbledon title by beating Carlos Alcaraz 3-1. He came from one set down to win it 4-6, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4. It's his fourth Grand Slam title. Rory McIlroy tied for second place at the Scottish Open. The Irishman finished 13 under par, two behind the winner, Chris Guthrop. This is a life-changing win for him, to be honest with you. And he's also going to be teeing it up now at the Open in Portrush this week. Leon Maguire tied seventh at the Evian Championship. The major won by Chris Kim after a playoff. Chelsea beat PSG 3-0 to win the Club World Cup in the United States overnight. And at the Euros, England took second place in Group D with a 6-1 win over Wales. France beat Netherlands 5-2 to take top spot.
Thanks, Darren.